Could a deal be signed today to release Ukraine's grain? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Turkey has announced it's negotiated a plan between Russia and Ukraine to potentially allow vital global food exports to resume through the Black Sea. 20 million tonnes of grain has been stuck in Ukrainian warehouses since Moscow invaded the country, and the UN has warned of a looming hunger catastrophe. Ukraine has been trying other ways to get the food out, and the BBC's Nick Thorpe is in Romania on an alternative river route.
Before the war, Ukraine was able to export about 5 million tonnes a month of grain through big deep-sea ports along the southern shore of Ukraine. They have been able to substitute some of that, perhaps only a quarter of the pre-war supplies.
So how significant then is the deal that is hoped to be signed in Turkey later?
Very significant if it works. The deal speaks about setting up two coordination centres staffed by Russians, Ukrainians, Turkish and UN officials, probably one in Istanbul, one potentially in Odessa. Remember, the war is still going on in the background, so how will Russians and Ukrainians be able to collaborate? Another big issue is the safety of convoys. How would those convoys cross from Ukraine? Which ships of which navies might protect or ensure the safety of those ships from Odessa if transport is restored from Odessa?
So, Nick, in the meantime, will they be continuing to use the route where you are?
Exactly, yes. And where I am here in the Danube Delta, most of them are empty. The cargo ships, general cargo ships, are waiting at anchor, waiting for an opportunity to come in and pick up grain cargoes from Ukrainian ports of Vreni and Izmail. But those are very small river port areas, and that's why there's such a backlog, why this is such a bottleneck. They've got a limited number of railway tracks or road leading to them. They've got a limited number of cranes, conveyor belts, so they can't really substitute. The longer it's carried by rail or by road and then put in barges, just behind me here on the Danube, those barges have to go upriver, then down a canal, and then needs to be transshipped onto the larger deep sea ships. It all adds to the cost of all the goods, especially the grain that's being moved.
Nick Thorpe on the banks of the Danube in Romania. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the markets now, and global stocks were marginally higher on Friday. But despite Russian gas flowing back to Europe and some strong earnings in the region, political tension in Italy tempered sentiment, as did the outlook for further central bank action after the European Central Bank raised interest rates yesterday. To Sri Lanka, where the new president, Ranil Wickremesinghe, has vowed tough action against those protesting in the bankrupt country. He is seen as deeply unpopular with the public and has already said he will also keep his former role as finance minister. Earlier, security forces dressed in riot gear stormed the main protest camp outside the presidential offices. The BBC's Ambarasan Itarajan was there.
Dozens of security forces have now entered this protest village, and now they are clearing all the tents. These tents were put up months ago by these protesters. Now the protest movement, the leaders, they've gone to the other side, and there is a tent situation here where the soldiers are now taking out all these tents and even telling media not to take any pictures. And the protesters were worried that this might happen very soon after President Ranil Wickremesinghe took over.
Ambarasan Itarajan in Sri Lanka there. In the aftermath of the deep economic crisis experienced in Greece in the early 2010s, many people in the country chose to move overseas in search of a better life. But there are now signs that people are heading back to their home country, as the BBC's Victoria Craig reports from Athens.
Hi, Victoria. Very nice to meet you. Thanks so much for doing
Dr. Poppy Kalitzi is a self-described brain drainer.
I'm a medical doctor, and I left in 2013. Most of the doctors that I knew at that time, we left Greece because the salaries in the public sector, they are not good.
It's a similar story for Georgia Mignotti, a speech research scientist for artificial intelligence at Samsung. She finished her undergraduate degree in 2014, but when she went looking for a master's program in Greece, she couldn't find one. Instead, she decided to enroll at a school in Edinburgh, Scotland.
I heard that I had gotten the scholarship, and I was really over the moon.
Poppy returned in 2016 after she got married, and Georgia decided to give Greece another try when a career opportunity presented itself unexpectedly.
Some researchers who were Greek created a spin-off out of a research institute in Athens. They contacted me because they had managed to be acquired by Samsung Electronics and keep their offices here in Athens.
For Poppy, experiences like hers and Georgia's resonated so much, she wanted to find a way to connect Greeks abroad with Greeks at home. So she co-founded an initiative called Brain Gain.
We were about 100,000 people that lived abroad after the economic crisis. And we decided to create a platform to join forces with the people that stayed in Greece in order to change the conditions that made us leave the country.
Now it's morphed into a fully-fledged nonprofit that's teamed up with big names in business, including EY, Microsoft, Ogilvy, and Xerox. Poppy said new research Brain Regain has conducted shows about 30% of those living abroad are ready to return to Greece in the next year, and 72% are willing to accept as much as a 30% reduction in salary to do so. In Athens, Greece, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.